Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our one mediator between you and us. We come to you now, Lord, and we ask that you would speak to us through your word, that you would teach us to walk in the way of wisdom, and to do it diligently with every part of our being, to attain godliness, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have called us. So we ask now, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us, or you'd reveal your will to us tonight as we open your word. Please, Lord, we need you. Without you, we have nothing. We pray for your glory. Amen. Well, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We are going to be looking at verses 20 through 27, which will be closing out this chapter. This is the third lecture from the Father to the Son in this chapter. This is lecture number 7 total in the book of Proverbs. Lecture number 5 that started out chapter 4, we see the Father exhorting the Son, exhorting us to pursue wisdom as a beautiful bride worth any cost. And then lecture 6, we saw that he was focused on the two paths, the paths of wisdom and the paths of folly, and exhorting us to stay on the right path. Now the lecture 7 is going to focus on what one commentator calls the anatomy of discipleship. That is, the pursuit of wisdom requires every part of your being. Every part of your being. There are many biological terms used in this poem or this lecture. Ears, eyes, heart, body, mouth, and lips. As well as many verbs for physical posture. Incline, extend, turn away, turn aside, twistedness, crookedness, make distance, in front, straight before, swerve to the right or left. This lecture is concerned with our diligently staying on the right path and using every resource in our power to do so. Every resource in our power to do so. Remember that wisdom is the skill of living well, according to Proverbs. That wisdom is living according to God's design, living in a manner that is characterized by righteousness, justice, and equity, or uprightness, can be translated either way. And this is what wisdom is. It's to live according to God's design. And that's why Solomon can say that the person who is wise is truly blessed because they experience life optimally, the way God intended it to be experienced before the fall. And we've talked about how our rebellion against God was our throwing our fist up at him and saying we will define our own way and define what is good and evil for ourselves. Putting ourselves under the rule of God and learning the way of wisdom is to put yourself under the rule of God and to live your life according to his design, according to his ordering of the universe. This is wisdom. Folly is to live opposite of God's intention. So look with me at verses 20 through 27 of Proverbs chapter 4. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. This is the word of the Lord. We see in verses 20 through 21 our standard introductions to the lectures where he starts by calling to his son, "My son, listen, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Listen." We've seen in Proverbs chapter 2 that the ear is a conduit to the heart. It's the way that we learn the way of wisdom and get it inside of us. And so he exhorts the son again to pay attention to his words and incline his ear. Take a posture of listening. Take a posture of willingness to learn the way of wisdom. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep your eyes on them. Keep them within your heart. One commentator said this: the father is not interested in a superficial response from his son, some kind of behavior modification. He desires that his child be wise at his very core. See, the heart in Hebrew thought is much more in our worldview, the mind. It's the center of your very being, the part that controls your expressions and your actions. It's what controls the way you live and the way you act. It's the way you think. Your heart is the very center of who you are, the center place of your personality. You may have a physically beating heart, but you may be spiritually dead. It's the center of who you are as a person. And so the father exhorts the son to take this teaching of wisdom to heart, to let it become part of who he is, to be formed into his character, to be formed into who he is. Wisdom isn't just something that you do superficially, something that you put on like a costume, but it's something that you need to become. And it's not something that you just attain and then have it forever. It's something that we are constantly attaining and learning. The way of folly is wrapped up in a child's heart. The rod of discipline drives it out, and that is true of us as children of God. He is using his rod of discipline to drive folly from our hearts so that wisdom would become part of our very character. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Just as standard in all of his lectures, he starts by exhorting his son to listen, followed by the motivation, which has often been said, especially in the last three lectures, to be life. They are life to those who find them, and they are healing to all your flesh, assuming that your life has been disrupted by disorder and sin, and you need healing and be brought back to wholeness. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 4:8, godliness has benefit both for this life and the one to come. Both for this life and the one to come. It holds a promise for now as well. And we've talked about that in Proverbs. How the Proverbs make many assertions that we experience here and now, but sometimes we don't experience them to their full extent. But we have the hope that we have a just God who will pour out his blessings upon us in eternity for walking in the way of wisdom. We are told here in verses 20 through 22 to get wisdom in our hearts, to store it up in our hearts. Just like the Ark of the Covenant with the Ten Commandments inside of it was kept in the Holy of Holies, so too are we to keep God's commands, God's way of life, in our hearts, stored up in the very center, the very most intimate part of our being, and let it become part of us. And now into the content of the lecture, which is giving us more motivation, more exhortations to pursue wisdom. Now, verse 23 in your ESV says, keep your hearts with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. A better translation may be this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The idea here, it says, above all else, above all else, quite literally, it says, above all else that you keep, all else that you guard, all else that you protect, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Why? Because everything you do flows from it. Now, the literal reading is, from it flows the springs of life. But this is a Hebrew idiom, meaning everything you do that animates you, that gives you life, comes out of your heart. From it, everything that you do, it comes, it flows from the heart. And we're going to see through this lecture that our mouth and our eyes and our ears are the conduit directly to and directly out of the heart. They lead to the heart and they come right out of the heart. Now, the idea of guarding your heart here has the nuance of restraining and protecting, both from without and from within. Both from without and from within. First off, we need to protect our hearts from ourselves. To guard our hearts from going the way of folly, of going the way of wickedness, from going down the path of unrighteousness, to being rebellious against God and going our own way, defining good and evil for ourselves. Guard your heart. But also guard your heart from external influences. We talked about this last week. We talked about the fact that we are all going to encounter the path of wickedness. Whether you're searching for it or not, you're going to encounter it. And this lecture ties right into the last one. So I will reiterate a few things. Guard your heart, because your ears and your eyes are a direct conduit into it. Be careful what you're watching. Be careful what or who you are listening to, because it is forming your heart. It is shaping your worldview. It is shaping the way you understand what is right and wrong, what is good and evil. Quantity is very important here. What you're eating the most is what is going to come out. It's not one donut that gets you the big pant size. It's all of the donuts that you've been eating. One won't hurt you. What are you eating more? Are you eating a constant diet of TV shows and movies and music that profanes the name of God, who makes light of what he calls evil and calls it good? Is that what you eat more of, or do you eat his word more? Whatever you eat more is going to define your life. It's going to shape your understanding of the world. It's going to shape your understanding of what is right and what is wrong. Be in the word. You have such a resource, my brothers and sisters. There are not many saints that have gone before us who have had the privilege of having the written word in their own possession, in their own language, in multiple translations. You are blessed. There are many people today in the world who still don't have the Bible in their own language. And you have a plethora of translations in your own tongue. Are you reading the word of God? Are you taking it in? Are you meditating upon it? We're told in Psalms chapter 1 that the righteous person meditates on the word day and night and is like a solid tree that will not be moved, whose green leaves never wither. What are you eating? What are you taking in to your heart? Do you want to know what your heart is like? Look at verse 24. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. The mouth tells us what is in the heart. One commentator said this: as one speaks, so he is. Is this not what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 15? That what flows out of your mouth is just coming out of the treasures of your heart. Whatever's in your heart comes out of your mouth. On the other hand, what one says also affects the heart. Another commentator says this: superficial habits of talk react on the mind, so that cynical chatter, fashionable grumbles, flippancy, half-truths, barely meant in the first place, harden into well-established habits of thought. See, how we speak forms our heart. One, it tells us what's in the heart, but also how you are consistently speaking is shaping your heart. And so the Father tells us here to put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Means keep as far away as possible from all falsity in speech, namely lying, deception, insensitivity, hurting, disfiguring, disproportion, and brutality. What does Paul tell us in Ephesians chapter 4? Put away all falsehood and speak truthfully to one another. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 10. And he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person. What comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Leave them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat what is unwashed, unwashed hands does not defile anyone." And turn with me now back in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Pretty strong words. But here's the point. What comes out of your mouth tells you what's in your heart. When the pressure's on, what's coming out of your mouth, saints? What's coming out of your mouth? When you stub your toe, what comes out? When someone cuts you off in traffic, what comes out? When your friend or your sibling or your spouse rubs you the wrong way, what comes out of your mouth? Then you can see what's in your heart. That's what Jesus said. That's what our Lord tells us. That what comes out of the heart tells you what's in the storehouses of the heart. Whatever is coming out of your mouth, whatever is flowing out, it is an indicator of what's going on in here. Look at your life this past week. What's been coming out of your mouth? What has been coming out of your mouth? Don't write it off as, "Oh, I didn't mean it. It was just a bad moment. It just stubbed my toe." No, that is an indicator of something much deeper and something that's much something wrong in your heart, something that you need to repent of, something that you need to bring to the Lord and turn it to Him. What's coming out of your mouth is an indicator of what is in your heart. It is what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person, he tells us in chapter 15. Be careful what's coming out of your mouth. It will defile you. Turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouth of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. The tongue is a powerful force, and we must work diligently to tame it. Work diligently to tame it. What we say matters. You must, as a child of God, say what you mean and mean what you say. Don't be a person of flattering lips and a gossip. This is not character, should not be characteristic of a child of God. Be careful how you speak, for we will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word, our Lord says. Be careful how you speak. Don't speak flippantly. Our culture, our day, our society puts little value on words. And we say whatever we feel, whenever we like, and words don't have any meaning. And everything's about flattery and not wanting to hurt people and tolerance. Your words matter, saints. What you say matters. Don't be someone with empty words, but speak with wisdom on your lips. Speak truthfully to one another, and speak in a way that builds up and encourages and edifies. Season people with good speech. Use it to build up and not to tear down. Turn back to Proverbs. So the Father tells us, as we assume the posture of the Son here, verse 24, that we are to put away from us crooked speech and put devious talk far from us. And then verses 25 through 27. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Listen, most people fail from broken focus, from looking every which way and not keeping their gaze straight ahead. If you try to multitask all the time, you're going to do a lot of things not well. But if you focus, you can do things with excellence. You can do things and make things beautiful. And you must take this carefulness, this careful focus, this diligence in your becoming wise. That is, in your pursuit of godliness. Listen, a flashlight cannot cut metal. It's too dispersed. But light that is focused, a laser-focused light, can cut steel. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 that we are to strive for godliness, work at godliness. For godliness is much better than physical discipline, than working out your body. Godliness is of great gain. Nobody falls into godliness. You don't just become godly. It takes work. It takes focus. It takes diligence. It takes effort. It takes sweat. It takes tears. It takes prayer. It takes reading the word. It takes fellowship with the saints. It takes work. So we are told to let your eyes look directly forward. Keep your focus on the way of righteousness. Keep your focus on the way of wisdom. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Don't start pondering the paths of wickedness and thinking, oh, that if I go that way, that'll be such an easier path to attain what I want. Asaph almost did that, Psalm 73. And he says it almost caused him to make the people of God stumble. It is when he came into the sanctuary, when he came into the temple of God, into the worship, that he got a new perspective and he saw that it's the godly who have the true hope, that the wicked may have wealth and happiness for a time, but in the long run, they will surely stumble and fall and be destroyed. It is the godly who have the hope of eternal life. So let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Keep your focus. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, whatever is honorable, whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is godly, keep your mind on these things. Think on these things. Keep them in the forefront of your mind. Ponder them. Meditate on them. Keep your eyes directly forward and your gaze set straight. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Cast off every sin that so easily entangles. He tells us in verse 26, to ponder the path of your feet. Now, in the ESV it says, then all your ways will be sure. The NIV says it this way, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. I think this captures the original a lot better, especially in the second part of the verse. Be steadfast in all your ways versus then in all your ways will be sure. The exhortation here is to take careful thought to the path you're walking on and to be steadfast in walking this path, to be diligent in walking it. Think about it. Like I said, you don't just fall into godliness. It takes effort. It takes pondering your way. It takes looking back on your life and being like, okay, what do I learn from that mistake? What do I learn from that failure? What do I learn from the Word of God that I don't go the way of folly? Remember, we've learned that the philosophy of Proverbs is that it's much better to learn and live than to live and learn. And that's why we come to the Word of God, to submit ourselves to His revelation, that we may learn and live. Not live and learn. It's so much harder. The way of the transgressor is hard. Wouldn't you rather learn and just take God's word for it than trying to figure it out for yourself? So take careful thought to your path. Set your gaze directly before you. See, He's use so many different words to say the very center of our being, our eyes, our ears, our feet, our path. We are to be so diligent in all that we are, with all of our energy, with all of our effort, to walk the way of wisdom. In verse 27, he closes us. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to turn to the right or to the left. There's going to be a lot of squirrels along the way that are going to be calling for your attention, that are going to want you to veer off the path. Don't do it. Adam and Eve took their eyes off all that God had given them and set their gaze upon the forbidden fruit. And what a fretful state we have been in since. It has been a horrible fall, has it not? Do not take your gaze off the right path. Don't swerve to the right or to the left. And keep your foot away from evil. Sin is like an animal that is crouching at your door, seeking to devour you. Your enemy, the evil one, Satan, is roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be careful when you stand, lest you fall, saints. When you think you've got it together, when you think you've got your footing strong, take a strong stand then. Take careful thought to your path then. As soon as you think that you're okay, that you're safe, that you're not going to turn to the right or to the left, that your foot is far from any trap, any evil trap, that's exactly when you're going to fall. The enemy's watching. He's looking for when he can take you down. He's waiting for the right opportunity. Everything may be seeming to go smoothly right now, but he's waiting. He's waiting for that moment when you're at your weakest or when you let your guard down and the flaming arrow is coming. So take up the shield of faith. Know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the powers, against the principalities, against the dark forces of this evil age. Put on the full armor of God every single day. Not just when you're feeling the attacks, but even on your good days. Put on the armor. And how do we put it on, Paul tells us? By prayer. By prayer. Seek the Lord by the Spirit. And put on the armor of God. For with the armor of God, you can put out the flaming arrows of the devil and keep your foot away from evil and walk on the right path and keep your gaze focused. Put on the armor of God. Use every resource that God has given you to do so. Be diligent in it. Be diligent in it today. Be diligent in it this week. Put on the armor of God and be careful how you walk, lest you fall. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. The other paths may look fun. They may look appealing. They may look like there's something beautiful on the other side of the ridge. But on the other side of that ridge is darkness and death and destruction. On the path of righteousness, it may look difficult right now. It may look like a awful, dreadful climb up. It may look hard, it is. But on the other side, it's beautiful. On the other side, it's glorious. On the other side, there are pleasures forevermore at the right hand of your Heavenly Father. Walk on the path of wisdom, on the path of righteousness, and don't veer to other paths that seem more promising. They aren't. Learn and live, saints. Learn and live. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray now for my brothers and sisters. I pray that you would keep us. You would keep us in your grace this week. That you would keep us from swerving to the right or to the left. That you would help us to keep our gaze directly before us. That we would ponder our paths this week. That we would not walk around aimlessly, but that we would walk around as those who are wise, making the most use of the time that you have given us. Lord, help us. Help us to be those who are focused, those who are striving to be godly, those who are focused on the way of righteousness, the way of wisdom. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters as we depart from this place and go about our ways this week. I pray that you protect them in every one of their paths, and that you would keep them in the way of wisdom. We love you and we thank you that you loved us first. We pray for the glory of Jesus. Amen.